I started a story about Naomi. You might remember the story of Naomi. Naomi was a Jewish woman, and she and her family were from Bethlehem. And so a famine came, and so they left, and they went to Moab. And in the next 10 years of her life, she went through major tragedies. She lost her husband, and she lost her two sons, and so all she was left with was her two daughters-in-law. And one of her daughters-in-law decided to just go back to her mom and her family, and so she could have a new life and a future. But there was one daughter-in-law whose name was Ruth, and Ruth decided she wasn't going to leave her mother-in-law, and she was going to hang on to her, and she was going to be there for her to the very end of her life. And so you have Naomi and Ruth coming back to Bethlehem, where she grew up. And the Bible says that she was full of bitterness, this is Naomi, and hurt because she'd lost everything in her life that meant anything to her. That's where we left it last week. Well, it just happened that when they got to Bethlehem, there was a barley harvest. And this was beginning in late April. So it was important because a harvest like this was the time when the poor people were able to go out by the law, where they were allowed to go to the edges of the field and they were able to pick up grain for themselves. They were also able to go out into the fields and gather the loose grains on the ground. So you see, Naomi and Ruth were two very poor widows. They had no means of support. This was the only thing that they had available to them. This was the only way that a poor person could get food. So remember, Ruth made these promises that she was not going to leave her mother-in-law, and now she's making good on her promise, and she asked her mother-in-law, "Let me go in the fields and get extra grain on the ground." Now, Ruth isn't too proud to do even menial work like this. She knows they have to eat somehow, and this was a tough decision because the owners of the field were not always nice, cooperative people to these poor people that were coming in. And now she's a woman, and she's going off alone by herself. Well, it just happened that Ruth found a good field. She spoke to the foreman, told him about herself, and he let her come into the field to pick up the leftover grain on the ground. Now remember, Ruth is alone. She's in a new country. She's an outsider. She's a Moabite. But she is determined to survive. She's determined to get some food, just enough food for her and her mother-in-law to survive. And it just happened that the field where she was picking grain, that on that particular day, the owner happened to come by in a pickup truck. Well, I'm sorry, not a pickup truck. Anyway, he came by and he was really checking out what was going on in the field, making sure his workers were doing all right. You get the idea. He's checking on everybody, and his name was Boaz. And from the moment we see Boaz in the scripture, he is a godly man. We see this about him. In fact, his first words, he shouts out to his workers, "The Lord be with you." And they shout back, "The Lord bless you." So he was a man of faith. He was a man who actually lived what he believed. And what a different kind of work environment is this. So he starts looking out over his fields, and he's looking at all the workers out there, and he's looking at all the poor people, and I'm sure that he recognized many of the poor people from town. It's a small town. But it just happened that someone caught his eye. It was Ruth. Now, was there a graceful way about Ruth? But he asked the foreman about her. Who does she belong to? In other words, is she married? And I do believe this happens. I do believe that there's sometimes you just see that person and there's a spark that you see. When Rich was 13 years old, he saw Diane for the first time. And he asked his friend, who was that? 13. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about their story probably next week. But we all, maybe you can think of the time when you first met. I ask different people in the church the time when they first met. And Eva May, for her, she met George on a blind date. They met. First time. Who is this guy? And they were married 6 months later. Is that right? Yeah, that's it. So the first time, and then it just happened to be that Zelphia's aunt lived next to Wendell, right? And so anyway, it was during a particular day that Zelphia just happened to come over, and the aunt said, let me have you meet Wendell. And so they met right there. Well, Ruth and Boaz, they're starting something here, and he looks out and notices her in the field. Now, remember, Boaz, the Bible says he's a man of standing. Possibly means he's wealthy. He was someone who was honorable. He was somebody that had good intentions. And so he asks the foreman about this woman, and he learns that she's a Moabite. She's the Moabite that came to town with Naomi, and the foreman says she's been working all morning with only a short break. And Boaz had already heard about her, no doubt, because news had spread about these two people that came to Bethlehem. So Boaz approaches Ruth while she's working in the field. That's an unusual first place meeting. I found out that Jack was working on a vehicle, right, Jack? And that's where you met Peggy the first time. So everybody meets a different place there. And in this particular case, they met in a field. Well, he's much older than Ruth. He says, my daughter. So it's a fatherly expression here. And he invites her to stay in his field to work and to stay with his own workers. She was going to be treated better than just a slave. And he promises that she will be protected from the men. And if she is thirsty, she's able to get water. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal what he does here. But something is starting here. And Boaz is showing kindness to Ruth. And Ruth is surprised. Remember, she's just trying to work. She's just trying to survive. She's a humble, modest woman. And so she asks this magic question. And I believe this is the question that all couples want to know when they first meet. Here's the magic question. Why did you notice me? Isn't that an important thing? Why did you notice me? And that's what women want to know. Ruth says, I'm a foreigner here. I don't even have the standing to be one of your slaves. Why did you notice me? So let me pause here. Why did he notice her? Was it her look? I mean, was it that magic connection? Was it like those romantic songs? The first time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon and stars were the gifts you gave. Is that what was going on here? Well, not exactly. Not exactly. Boaz actually gives the reasons why he took special notice of Ruth here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ruth chapter 2. And I want to look at verses 11 and 12. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people that you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done, and may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Do you see the qualities there that Boaz is drawn to? He notices her devotion to her mother-in-law. I mean, she's doing this for somebody else. He notices her sacrifice. She left her country. she left her people. And she came to a nation of customs and people that she didn't know. And just because she loved Naomi. And this was a relative, not even on her side of the family. He also notices her faith. Not a lot of detail is given about Ruth's faith, but she's promised Naomi that she would leave her people and she would serve her God. And then Boaz gives this beautiful description of Ruth's faith. He says to her, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Ruth's faith was like that of a tiny bird struggling under the mother's wings. He also notices her humility. Here, she's working in a field as a slave. She's not boastful. She's just a quiet worker. And all she is caring about her mother-in-law. You know, everybody has their list of things that they want in a man or woman. He needs to earn this much before I'll consider him. She must be able to cook. He cannot be bald. He has to have hair on the head there. She has to have a good figure. He needs a good sense of humor. I mean, we could come up with a lot of crazy things that people have put down for lists. This is what I need. But a godly person looks deeper. They look at a godly character, not just the person. Not just, is the person kind? But do they have faith? Are they an authentic follower of God? Have they made sacrifices for the God? Have they served Him with humility? When you find a person like that, then it's time to find a good romance and a good relationship. Boaz focuses on those best things that he sees about Ruth. And that is the foundation for what is to come. Well, we should get back to our story. You remember, it just happened to be harvest season. And Ruth just happened to go into Boaz's field. And Boaz just happened to notice her. Isn't it amazing the way all these things just happen? And Ruth was very thankful to Boaz, and she kept working in the field. And when lunchtime came, Boaz called Ruth over. All the slaves were on their own for their own meals. But Boaz says, I want you to come and eat with all the workers here because a meal was provided. Now, by our standards, it wasn't much of a meal. It was bread and roasted grain and wine vinegar. But if you were struggling and you were just barely getting by and didn't have anything to eat, this was a wonderful meal. And this was an honor. And Ruth was just a poor foreigner, lower than a slave. And it says that Boaz served her. Does that surprise you? Well, when the meal was over, Ruth went back to work. Boaz tells his workers, let her pick up sheaves, not just those extra kernels on the ground. And Boaz says, when you're pulling up stalks to bundle up, every now and then, leave a stalk for her to pick up. So Ruth continued to work until evening, and she was loaded down. I've got a picture of her. This is not her, but this is what I would imagine she would kind of look like at the end of the day. She's loaded down with all of her stalks, and she separates the grain from the chaff, and she has about an ephah of grain. That's about 29 to 50 pounds, enough to last several weeks. See, Boaz had set it up so that she would work and she would receive a greater amount and she wouldn't even know what he had done. You remember Naomi. At the end of chapter 1, she's downhearted and she's bitter and she's sad and her life is a misery. Well, Ruth comes through the door loaded down with grain and she's amazed. Where did you glean today? He asked. And she says, who took notice of you? Now Ruth told her what happened, and she said, the man's name is Boaz. And then Naomi says, the Lord bless him. And she says, God has not stopped showing kindness to us. and our family. Well, it just happened that there was something else about Boaz that Ruth didn't know. Naomi says, he is our close relative. The Bible calls him a kinsman redeemer. And basically, in the Jewish culture, when a woman, during this time, when a woman lost her husband, there would be a male relative, a brother, that would step in and would marry her so that her family line and her wealth would be preserved. That's how it worked during this time. Well, Naomi is no longer downhearted, and she blesses Boaz and is so happy about the protection that he provides Ruth. And we haven't heard the last from Naomi. No, Naomi has more to contribute here, but we're going to see that next week. But Ruth continues to go to work, and I'm sure there were going to be many more lunches with Boaz. This is just the start of something here. And harvest season would go on for 7 weeks. See, it seemed like all hope was lost, but God was at work. When you make sacrifices for your family, for those in need, when you give up your dreams of the future, you find that God has something better. When you trust Him, when you follow Him, you'll find things just happen. Well, if you're single and you want more than anything just to find the right one, there's things in here you can learn about character. You can learn some lessons from Boaz, who he looks for, and you can learn some lessons from Ruth on the kind of woman, the selfless example she is. But this isn't a sermon on how to find your Boaz. Sorry to disappoint you. Really, there's no guarantee. Let me just throw this out here. There's no guarantee that if you do all the right things, you make all the right sacrifices, that you're going to find the perfect Boaz out there. It's not going to happen. Anybody who preaches that is completely missing the point of what the book of Ruth is about. The point is, things just happen because God is working. He's guiding, He's helping, He's protecting, and there's lots of coincidences that happen. There's lots of accidents that happen that are His hand. And if you're following Jesus and you're making sacrifices, He's not going to forget you. Kind of reminds me of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. A couple weeks ago, I was driving in Virginia. It was 8:30 at night, and I was on my last leg of the way. I had 2 more hours to go over a mountainous area at night where there was very little phone service. But I've driven it many times. I wasn't nervous, just 2 more hours. I was in a small town, and I just happened to hit something, and it caused my front tire to pop right there. And so I pulled over on the side of the road, and I was right in front of Lowe's. So I had my spare put on, and I found a hotel, which was 1/2 mile away. And the next morning, I woke up to find that 2 tires had been damaged, and so I had new tires put on, and I was on my way. Well, if you think about it, that could have happened right there in that 2 hours in a mountainous area, very windy, with very little cell phone signal. But it just happened that happened right there in an area where it was safe and good. See, I don't believe things just happen like that, okay? I believe God is at work, and God is at work in your life. He's at work in my life. When you're serving Jesus Christ, things don't just happen. God is working. So we're gathered here today and we're listening to this message. It just happens that we're gathered together and we're all studying the Word of God. We're all studying Ruth. And God is speaking. God is speaking a message to you right now. What is he saying to you through our passage today? What is he telling you? One of the things that he's telling me is that is the song I picked out today. God is bigger than anything. Okay? So God does relationships better than us. And God does life better than us. So whatever thing that we're dealing with in our life that seems a little overwhelming and doesn't seem to make sense, God is in control. He is working. And He's going to, things are just going to happen. When you serve Him, when you're faithful to Him, He's going to bless you. But you have to have that humility. And that's what the Christian message is. We have to be humble enough to give our lives to God, to trust Him. We can't take it all. We can't control everything. We have to have faith and we have to give it to God. So if you have a decision today, maybe you need to make a mental decision. Maybe there's something in your life that you're not giving over to God and you're not trusting Him with. Maybe your decision is that today you're going to make a decision that you're going to give that over to God and you're going to trust Him. Let's all stand as we sing our song of invitation.